हरिः ॐ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसदि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे जय ओके सो सत्क्रिय सारदीपिका नामकरण नेम गिविंग सेरेमनी ओके सो इट सेज़ हियर दैट द चाइल्ड शुड बी नेम्ड ऑन द 10th 12th 100th एंड फर्स्ट डे 100th and first, or one full year from his birth, like that. And then a footnote it says Appendix 6. Okay, choosing names. For the Namakarana Samskara, names of the child may be chosen according to various methods. Okay, so you have the one is after the deity of the month in which the child is born. Two is after the deity or syllable, the constellation in which the child was born. Three, according to the zodiac sign. Yeah, that seems to be, yeah, sorry, that's all the options you have. So then on the month which the child is born, then you have Margashirsha, that's Keshava. So Krishna, Narayana, Ananta, Magha, Achyuta. These are the names would be Chakri, Falguni would be Chakri, Vishnu, Govinda Chakri, Chaitra Vishnu, Vaikuntha, Vaishak, Madhusudana, Janardana, Trivikrama, Upendra, Vamana, Yajna Purusha, Sridhara Vasudeva, Hrishikesha Hari, Padmanabha Yogisha, Damodar, Pundarikaksha. So then you can take names off of there, or you can take it off of the second one is. Or the syllable, the constellation in which the child is born, right? So there's 27 constellations. Each nakshatra is divided into four equal parts. Each part is assigned a syllable. After determining which nakshatra and which quarter of the nakshatra that the child was born in, name should be chosen which begins with a corresponding syllable. Any syllable with an O sound may substitute an O sound. Syllable with an E sound can substitute I sound. And any of the tal of your shock and can substitute for a regular S. Okay, so then in each one, then you have the nakshatra and then the deity, and so then you use those, or you can use also the deity that is what do you call it? That is presiding deity of that nakshatra. Right, so then starting with Ashwini, then you have the Ashwini Kumaras and the quarters, then you have Chu, Che, Cho, La. And as it mentioned, the Cho can be a Chow, right? Like that. So like that, then you go through all of them. And then you have, Barani is Yama, and then Lilu, Lelo, Kartik, Agni, Aiui. So like that, you can go through, and then you can pick the syllable that would match, and then from that, then you look for names, of Krishna or like that. And then the third one is according to the zodiac sign. Then the name should be corresponding syllable according to the table. So when you have the 12 signs, then like in Mesha, Aries, then is Ah and La, Risha, Taurus is Uva, Mithuna, Gemini, Kaksha, like this. So then that way you can get also the different what do you call it? The different syllables, and so like that you have these three ways you can get. Most of the time we've been using just the nakshatra, but it also mentions about the deity, but most of those deities we wouldn't be using as much unless they're Vishnu deities. And then, but the zodiac signs you could use, because that'll be off the sun. This is off the moon, so it'll affect that aspect. Or the month, then the Narayan deity. So like that, then the name will be chosen according to that, and then you have the, means before time. Then you, because the child will have been, after they're born, and you have the time, then the astronomer or your astrologer then would calculate, these things. What are the syllables that you can use for the name? What would be, anything in their charts that's special or nice, like this and that, and so then these things can all be done at this time. Okay. So then, the father, after taking his morning bath, should worship Lord Vishnu and perform Satyaka Vidhi Shraddha. Then he should perform Kushandika rites, page 123, and up to the end of the Virupaksha, and establish the fire Partiva. Right? Then he does the, he should offer gi-soaked wood of a Pradesh length into the fire silently and perform Vyasta Samasta Mahavyarati Homa. So then you have Om Bhur, Om Bhuva, Om Swa, Om Bhur Bhuva Swa. Like that. The mother should hold the child covered in a clean cloth and sit to the husband's right. Handing the child to her husband, she should pass behind him and come to his left side. She should sit facing east on kusa grass with tips facing north, right? So she was sitting on the right, or hold like that, and then, sit on the right. Then when the time is there, then give the child to the father, go around behind, and sit on the left side, right? So we see is that there's these elements of these formalities and everything like that, that they tend to be more on the right, and then from the right, then it comes back to the left, because the left means then that they're, the element of the married couple. But here is then the aspect of the formality. So then in formality, one is, always being more careful. The husband should offer oblations, saying then to Om Tad Vishnu, Paramam Padam Sada Pasyanti Suraiha, Divi Vichakshura Taitam. Then to Vishnu. Then he does the, what is the titi? To the titi. And then to the, Then to, then Om Tad Vishnu again. Okay. Then okay, so then in this he's offering to the titi, then he's doing Om Tad Vishnu, then he's offering to titi Devata, charge of the titi, then Om Tad Vishnu, then to the Vaishnavas, then to the Nakshatra, then to the Om Tad Vishnu, and then to the Devata of the Nakshatra, then Om Tad Vishnu, and then to the Vaishnavas. Right, so he opens with worshipping Vishnu, then he's worshipping the Titi Devata, the Nakshatra, the Nakshatra Devata, then he's worshipping the Vaishnavas. The father should touch the mouth, nostrils, eyes, and ears of the child with his right hand and say, like you do the, like in the Acheman, you have the, like that, you have that one when you're doing the Acheman, so it would be the same, like that. Om, then he names, you are immortal like the Lord. O, and mentions the sun, enter into this solar month. So, okay. Then he says, so in other words, the sun, because we're looking at it here, the parents are doing the elements, dealing with the gross and subtle bodies. But actually, the whole purpose of them is to bring out that better the environment and association of which the child then can take up service to the Lord. Right? That is the main thing. So that element of being immortal means you're the soul. You're part and parcel of Krishna. And so you are like the Lord. So like the Lord, then you should be like the Lord and be absorbed in the Lord's service. Then he says, may the Lord consign you to the day. May the day consign you to the night. May the night consign you to the day and night. May day and night consign you to the half months. May the half months consign you to the full months. May the months consign you to the seasons. May the seasons consign you to the year. May the years consign you to long life. Oh, and you'll name it a child. So then, so it's just a matter of time. Krishna's time. So he is the day and night. That's where everything's taken. And then you have the day and the night, because the night is part of the day. Day consigns you to the night, because night is just the other half of the day. It's not that it's a separate thing. So that's why in the Vedic, it's counted that for rituals and all, everything, is that the day is there. And then the night is part of the day in continuation. So it's not considered the next day. So it's only then when the sun rises that it's the next day, though you do start preliminary to that. You know, in the Brahma Muhurta, then you start, you know, you take your bath, you do your sandhya, you do everything like that, you know, before the sun comes up. So as far as the vrata goes, then you're counting that Brahma Muhurta as part of the next day, but you only count the change of the titi in that in line with the sunrise. You know, it'll be all judged off of that. But in the civil, you know, just the normal, ordinary things of people, then it's the day is divided from the midnight, you know, just like you see in the modern kind of thing, is that you have the midnight and then that starts the next day. So that's only there for the civil things. That's not there for the vrtas. You count it as the same night. It's not that, okay, it's Janmashtami and once it hits midnight, now it's not Janmashtami anymore and now you can do whatever you want, go and party and stuff like that. No, so no, it's counted as part of. It's always like that. You understand? So you have these various things that you're doing. You're doing these various ways to calculate the thing. So the night is part of the day. And so then, and then that day and night together, then that will, the half months, that's controlled by the forefathers, then the months, then that will be controlled by the devatas, and then to the year, and that will be a day of the devatas. And then like that, then that will be for long life. So then, as we saw before, is that in the wedding, then the husband and wife are giving blessings to each other that may they live 100 autumns. So in this way, you're saying about him living a long life, right? The husband should whisper the name in the left ear of his wife saying, this is the name of your son, right? He should give the child back to his wife's hands, offer wood silently into the fire, and perform Vyasta Samasta Mahavyarati Homa, Bhuva Vaswa, and then offer Gisok Buddha Pradesh Link silently into the fire, then Udichakarma, and then give Dakshin to the Vaishnavas, initiated Vaishnavas and Brahmanas. So this is the Namakarana, right, according to the followers of the Samaveda, right? So then, like that, is that it's Krishna's time, and this time is then controlled. The personalities that take care of it, then we see is the, specifically the in this case that we're looking at is the titis and the nakshatras. That's probably why we also tend to use the nakshatras for the names. But if you're using a name of Vishnu, syllable off of that, or the name itself, then that works also very nicely. So then here the and so that's what we do. And as I mentioned before, others may do other things, and that's fine. They're all bona fide. Before, there would have been over 1,000 ways of variation that would have been there in the different schools. So, I mean, the Samaveda means you have four main ones, the four Vedas, but then you'd also have within each one, they would have their sub-branches, the shakas, which might have, you know, some little differences. Many may not have differences at all. Some of them might have. There's some difference in the way they're chanting or doing something that gives them that position of being a particular shaka. You know, nowadays, then, you know, there was 1,000. Now there's only 3 left in the Samaveda. I'm not sure. The other ones had much less. There would be, you know, a handful of each one of them. And then I'm not sure how many are left today, but the Samaveda is the one that's most gone down. Like that. So then Paushtika Karma, ceremony for continued health of the child. This ceremony should be performed every month during the child's first year on the Titi and Paksha, waxing or waning phase of the moon, corresponding to the Titi and Paksha on which the child was born. So, footnote, example, the child was born on the 10th lunar day, Dasami Titi, of the waxing phase of the moon, Shukla, in the Magh month. The ceremony should be performed in each of the 12 lunar months on Dasami of the waxing moon, phase of the moon. Alternatively, one may perform the rite on the Purnima of each month. Right? So if there's some other problem, then it can be done on the Purnima. So it's just because the Purnima is the end of the month, so for that month it's done in that way. So, but otherwise, then the natural thing is the paksha for whatever, I mean the particular titi and paksha. Then you do that for that this for every month during the first year, and so that's for the protection, the health of the child, like that. So we can see is here is that. The health of the child, people, everyone wants the health of the child. So here's the way of doing it, because we have to remember is that all the different things are actually controlled by the planets. Like that, whatever your karma you're supposed to get, whatever different things are there, it's going to come to you through the arrangement of the planet. I mean, someone has to do it, just like you order something from online, then the company has a person that will come and deliver it to you. You know, it's about you and the company, but the point is you can't be disrespectful to the person that comes. So here's that through worshiping the Lord, you're worshiping him and his arrangements that he's made for these things. You know, so that's the principle that's there. So this is for the health. The last one is also that all the things will go nicely with the with his life not being disturbed by the having the wrong name, you know, and things like that, and you're worshiping these, respecting these different personalities as servants of the Lord. And so then it goes that we even see is that Srila Prabhupada, depending upon most of the time, depending upon the name the person had as their name before taking up Krishna consciousness, when he would give them an initiated name, he used the first syllable of their name to choose the name. Occasionally, he would use something different, but there must be something there about the nature of the person or that. So, a different syllable is better, or they went, Prabhupada went off of one of the others. You just have to see if he went off of the deity of the month, or if he went off of the whoever was in charge of the Lord of the Nakshatra, or off of the sun calendar, who's the deity. Okay. The father should take his morning bath, perform the worship of Vishnu, recite Swastivachana, and chant Om Tad Vishnu Padamam Padam. Page 63, you know, so Mangalacharan and Om Krishna Vaisanchidananda, page 63. He should then, so the whole Mangalacharan, he should perform all Kushandika rites up to the end of Virupaksha Japa, establishing the fire, Balada. Then he should offer ghee soaked wood of Pradesh linked into the fire silently, perform the Astasamasta Mahavihargi Homa. Right? So you see, is that on the day that you're going to do, always in the morning, you're going to do all these different auspicious things to, right? And then at some point, then he, you know, sets everything up and then establishes the fire for doing the ceremony. So depending upon what time you're choosing, so there may be a gap between when he starts these things in the morning and when he's performing the ceremony, or it may be he starts those things, sets everything up when it's already does, or can set everything up the day before, you know, because he can always do an adivas on these things and that, or, you know, whatever is works nicely, set it up so it's there and that. But we see many, especially says these things are generally very simple. Much of the times the devotees who do these things, they either just have a simple just standila. You put a few bricks in the sand and that, and then set it up, or they have those copper kundas like that, and then they just come and set up. So many come just and come, do the things, set up, and start because they're, you know, so used to doing it and all that. So that's the thing of those Brahmins who always do this samskars and all that, then they know these things, they have their system, and it works out nicely for them. So then he does Vyasta Samasta Mahavyarati Homa, Dhruva Swa, then offer oblations of the following three mantras. Okay, so he does to Achyuta, Achyutanabhyam, to Adamadar, and to Vasudev. And he should offer oblations to the Titi and Nakshatra, saying, Om Vishnave, and then he gives the Titi, Devatyai, Swaha, and then Om Tad Vishnu Paramampadam, then to the Nakshatra, Devata, and then Om Tad Vishnu, and to the Vaishnavs. Right? So he's worshiping Achyuta, Damodar, and Vasudev, right? Because Achyuta, then, you know, everything is without fault. You know, everything is perfect there. Damodar, then that closeness, the niceness, the relationship with the devotees, the devotional aspect. And Vasudev, oh, then it's to Vasudev, Vamana, Vishnu, Vaikunthadi, Bhyaha, like that. I didn't see all those names. Damodar Purushottamabhyam, yeah. And so then, you know, this way, then the Lord, Vasudev, he's the one who performs everything like that. Vamana, then by his mercy, then you're, you know, freed from any difficulties that may arise through the improper performance of activities or that. Vishnu, then he maintains everything. Vaikuntha, then the you know, the transcendental realm. So, you know, the place, the activity, the results that you get, the relationships that you have, all these different aspects. And then to the Titi and the Nakshatra Devata, and then to, it means Om Tad Vishnu will be to the, for the great personalities, because that's about, just as one can see the sun in the sky, the great personalities can see the abode of the Lord by their association, you can also see. And then to the Vaishnavas, the father should offer as many oblations as he can using the mantra Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam and Om Krishna Vai Satchidananda. Right? So whatever works for him, you know, that, what time he has and what facility, then perform Vyasta Samasta Mahavyarati Homa. And then offer ghee-soaked wood to the fire, form all the Udichi karma, and then offer dakshin to the initiated Vaishnavas and Brahmanas. This is the child's Paushtika karma according to the followers of the Sama Veda. Right? So the Acharya keeps mentioning this because, one, that's just the tradition on how you do, and two, then it makes it very obvious this is what we do, like that. Anaprasana, first grain ceremony. In the case of a male child, the rite should be performed. In this. Yes, please.
So this Paushtika karma can be done every month?
It should be done every month. Not that it can be, it should be.
Okay.
Means it's just one of the samskars. This one is then comes in, it's done every month. You know, on the monthly anniversary of when the child appeared. Okay. So like that. So it's something that should be done every month.
This is for how many years?
For 1 year.
For the only person. Yes.
Yeah, for the first year, as it mentioned. So it's mentioned in the beginning. This ceremony should be performed every month during the child's yes. first year. Like that.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking at it differently. Okay, Maharaj. Yes. Because I was looking for an older version in which it is not mentioned. Sorry.
Oh, no. Yeah. Well, somehow or another, we should standardize all these things.
Yes.
Because there's some things that I don't see here, and there are certain things that, like, you know, are not in the previous one. So they've added some stuff into this, but in their simplification, some details get lost instead of putting them into footnotes, you know, like that. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the anaprasana, first grains. Okay, so then In the case of a male child, the rite should be performed in the sixth or eighth month on an auspicious day. In the case of a girl, it should be performed on the fifth or seventh month on an auspicious day. Footnote 1. This ceremony should not be performed before the fourth month and not later than a year for the sake of the child's health, right? Because in other words, there's a time when you want them to start taking grains. They can continue taking milk, but the point is that the grains would really start. So the latest you can go is 1 year. But otherwise, then here's the normal recommendation. Sixth and eighth month for the boy and fifth and seventh for the girl, right? Signs of teeth are the indication that the child is ready for solid foods, right? So that's one thing you see is, are the teeth coming in? So that's why it gives some delay, because sometimes the teeth come in later. So if the teeth come in earlier, then the boy would do in the sixth month. And if they're coming in later, then you do in the eighth month. Girl, if they come in earlier, come in the fifth, if later, the seventh month. But if somehow or another in the particular child, they're still delayed in that, it should be latest 1 year. Does that make sense? Because it might come a little bit here and there or something like that. So you just, you know, but point is you don't put it off. Yes.
Why the significance of odd months in girls and even in men?
I think for the girls, it most likely these things develop quicker.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. Sometimes they're slower. That's what I'm saying, an individual, but it's quicker. But why it's specifically odd and even at this, more than that, I don't know. I just, from what I understood, it's just they tend to move through these quicker, you know, like that.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Then it says here, after 6 or 7 months, the child body develops, requires a greater amount of different types of food while the mother's milk diminishes. Therefore, the benefit of the child and the mother, it is necessary to wean the child away from the mother and substitute the milk for something else. Shushruta says the child's fed light food. Rice, boiled and milk is often used as the food, right? That, you know, some fruit, these things like that. You don't get into things that are generally, you know, heavy foods, you know, anything that's fried and things like that. You always keep it very light. You know, it's always going to be. But at the same time is that the weaning of the thing, it just depends on if they're having more children or things like that. But otherwise, it can go up to 2 years, breastfeeding the child. That's generally longest. 6 months is the minimum or up to this point of anaprasana, but it also can continue up to 2 years like that. Okay, father, after taking his morning bath, should perform Vasudeva Archanam, Satvika Vidhi Shraddha, and Kushandika rites, and establish the fire, Suchi. Should offer ghee-soaked wood of Pradesh length into the fire silently and perform Vyasta Samasta Mahavyarati Homa. Then he should offer an oblation of Mahaprasadam rice into the fire, saying, this Mahaprasada rice is an offering for the Bhutas. You know, so yeah, it's offered to the Bhutas because they're going to come around, because when we owe a debt to everyone, you know, all those things when you're born. So one of the groups is the Bhutas, because they take care of certain things. They have certain duties around the house and doing this and that and so many things they do. It means they don't have a duty to come and bother you. But they do have different positions and things that they do in the house. So therefore, since you have that element, then there is this oblation to them so that they're satisfied. They've gotten their offering, and then they won't bother the child based on this. You know, he does something stupid later. That's another thing, but at least for this, then it's not. Then the father should offer oblations of ghee with the following mantras. He offers to Sankarsana. This offering is for prosperity. May Virochana, Sattvana, Sankarsana bestow truth in me. Right? So prosperity is meaning ghee, because of offering of ghee. Ghee is then the sacrifice. From that, then all the different, you know, the rains are coming, everything is coming, more ghee is coming, the dairy products are coming, because you're offering dairy into the sacrifice, more dairy is coming back. like that. Prabhupada mentions that there's less ghee and that available these days because people are doing less and less sacrifice. There's less ghee being offered into the fire. So that's there. And then bestow truth. And as we mentioned, truth means you're measuring things according to truth. Right? I say, is this right or wrong based on a measure, you know, something that can establish truth? Right? And so actual truth is then coming from Krishna. It comes from the Shastra. So therefore, then the natural thing is that based on Guru Sadhu and Shastra, I will use that as how I measure what is correct and what's not correct in my life. Like that. So that's what you have to do. This idea, oh, but we just want the truth. No, all they want is some facts for gossip. They couldn't care less about truth. Truth means, how does it connect to Krishna? How does it serve Krishna? How does it please Krishna? How does it bring us closer to Krishna? That's truth. Anything else is illusion. It's that simple. 11th canto makes that point. That's how you judge. If you say, oh, that's so, you know, this and that, or that's too so fanatic, or that's so strong, or that's so this and that, fine. Then do more of this stuff. Right? It's an illusion to think I'm going to take for myself, I'm going to take the I want the simplest path. So because Krishna consciousness is that simple path, I will use that as an excuse not to do all these different rituals and all these considerations of tradition and all that, because we just have to chant Hare Krishna. We don't need any of this culture. But at the same time, I'm going to maintain my material attachments. I'm going to cultivate them. I'm going to actually identify and work to develop them. You know, the family, the money, the facility, you know, but my position, my authority, all those things. And, but at the same time, that requires that you're responsible for doing those things that nourish that. But if you're going to say, oh, well, we just chant Hare Krishna, and that's not your focus, that's cheating. So the point is the more you go into material desire, the more you're dependent on the Varnashram system, and the more you're dependent upon all the things like the samskaras and the duties that come with the Varnashram system. And that. And then if we cheat and say, oh, I just chant and we don't care for these things, that's not going to get you very far. So if at some point in your life you do take up seriously and surrender, that's great. But don't think that your life will go smoothly on the material platform by not performing your obligations on the material platform. It means you're doing it in line with Krishna. When we say material, we mean external. It's temporary. You're dealing with a gross and subtle body. And so the gross and subtle body, those must be seen in the context of how they are in relation to Krishna and how I use them to serve. So the acharyas give us what we do. It means you can say, oh, this is so much. This is 10 samskars. There's technically, you get into all of them. I think there's like 40 or 50. Small, small little ones, like you see for Krishna, then that one at 3 months when they turn over, then they had some ceremony. When the baby rolls over onto the stomach, then they have a ceremony. That's one of them. So we saw Krishna had. You know, so all those ones that dropped out, you don't need to worry about those. These are the main, the Dasa Samskars is the main ones. These other ones are subsections of those, you know, in support of those. And so then, like that, then you know, life is easy. You know, Varnashram means for us, Daiva Varnashram. It's not the whole kit and caboodle of the Varnashram system. It's those things are favorable. In other words, basically you're taking Pancharatra is taking all those things in the Veda that are directed at the worship of Vishnu, the direct activities, you know, and it's, you know, technical rituals or purifications and all those. And so it's actually considered more, it's like the Paravidya, but it has the formalization of the deity worship. And so for us, then, Daiva Varnashram means those elements from Varnashram that are in line with and supportive of worshiping Vishnu. So it's the same mood like the Pancharatra. But it's in connection with the secondary activities. with the religious activities, those things that are favorable in that for Krishna consciousness, then those are then brought into Daivavarnashram. So it's not, what is it? We don't know. It means all the Prabhupada, the Acharyas talk about is Daivavarnashram. They're not talking about, they'll occasionally mention what's the standard in general Varnashram, just so that you know, what's going on. But at the same time, what we do is what they've done, what they've given example, what they've discussed. So then here, the samskaras, this is one of them. This book, the Satkriya Sar, was published by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, because he found the manuscript. It hadn't been published for a long time. I think Bhaktivinoda Thakur had worked on it, and it hadn't been published for generations. And so then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur then published it, and he gave the foreword, as we saw in the beginning of the book. And then Srila Prabhupada is talking about the importance of the Dasa Samskar. And then people who say, oh, we just chant, what planet are they, think they're on? You know, Prabhupada says to do it, the Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, you know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and these are the ones that preach in the modern age. You know, it's not like they're preaching just on the Indian platform, just to the Indians, you know, and that. They're the ones that are breaching the gap between the modern and the Vedic. Bhaktivinoda Thakur started that. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur carried that on, and then Srila Prabhupada took it, you know, around the world. Bhaktivinoda Thakur had already sent a book out. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur tried to send his disciples. But when Srila Prabhupada then took it up and went, then it became, you know, it took on its more grand form that we see today. So the whole point is they've given us everything. There's no need of speculation. Speculation comes up because we don't accept religion. So this is one of the aspects of religion, samskar. So therefore we speculate, do we do or not? How much we do? Why do we have to do? Oh, we just chant, we're devotees and all that. At the same time, we accept the socialistic bureaucracy as our governing principle, which is totally mundane. It doesn't even work. At least if you're going to take something that works. That's why in the Vedic, then, you know, they recommend monarchy. That works, you know, like this. You know, or a society of a cooperation of devotees, the Vishva Vaishnava Raja Sabha. So senior Vaishnavas get together and discuss, you know, based on Krishna consciousness, what's going on. You never see that there's any bureaucratic element or socialistic element there. So taking that, it's not even from Daiva Varnashram to Varnashram to non-Varnashram to what Varna doesn't even work. You know, so why would we be comfortable with that and not with this? That's what happens. You give up religion, you'll speculate. You'll make up your own because you can't function without religion. So it's either you follow what the Acharyas give or you'll make up your own. One may say, but in the beginning it wasn't there. It was there. We had Brahmacharyas, Grihasthas, Vanaprasthas, Sannyasis. We had Brahmins. We just hadn't, Prabhupada hadn't established Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra. That's all. So 5 out of 8, and the most important 5 out of 8, you know, you can't say it's not a major thing. So when he says, "Oh, I had an establishment," means this part of it, where you get into that administrative aspect, you know, business, people go on, shudras, it's already going on. So it has to be the administrative. And so then doing that, then we get up with bureaucratic socialism. You know, give me a break. That's not it. It's not administration. There's no leadership. So therefore, these things are important. So that's why then he's saying here that with this offering for prosperity, bestow truth in me, because only if you follow truth or follow Krishna in that, there will be prosperity. You don't follow that, there won't be prosperity. Simple. The next, among food, ghee is happiness. Beauty, strength, and nobility, I offer it to Ananta for all success. So among food, ghee is happiness. So of all the different things, then you're going to have, you have the 5 areas of food. So you're going to have the grains, vegetables, fruits, dairy, and sweetener or sugar like that, you know. I don't think they were meaning the artificial sweetener. So in that, of all these things, then we're going to see is dairy is the main. It's the most one for Krishna. And of that, that then the ghee itself, that's what makes everything else work so nicely. Then that brings about happiness. That brings about beauty, because if you're eating, then the body develops properly. It actually is smooth. It just doesn't have all these corners like you see the modern, you know, everybody eats nothing and all that and thinks that that skinniness is beauty, but then oh, they're all bony like that. Strength, because it means watercress is not going to give you strength. It's the ghee, right? And then nobility, there'll be that refinement, there'll be the other aspects like that. So all the good qualities come up because you're dealing on something very sattvic, because ghee is sattvic. Oil is rajasic. Somehow or another, people are more willing to use, those who are health food people, they will be more willing to use oil and not ghee. Somehow or another, how they've gotten this through the mode of ignorance, they have it backwards. But the point is, the ghee isn't what makes you fat. Oil can make you fat. And the quality of fat is not that good. The quality, if you do put on something on the body, the quality that comes from ghee, that's the one that gives the beauty, strength, and nobility. Well, the other one, not so much. So, and it's offered to Ananta, because then Ananta, he takes care of everything, because you're talking about these different beauty, strength, nobility, happiness. These are all the basis of functioning. And so Ananta takes care of, he is the basis of everything, right? Everything's resting on him. And so then, you know, yeah, by his grace. Then to Vishnu for hunger, it's the next offering. You know, because Vaishnava, if you don't get hungry, you don't digest, your health is not going to be good, like that. And then to Vishnu for hunger and thirst, because they go together. Because if you eat and don't drink, that'll also not make you healthy. So that you're hungry, that you get thirsty, these are signs of health. When you're sick, you're not hungry, you're not thirsty, nothing. You just sit there, right? And so like that. Then he offers oblations to the life heirs, saying, to prana, apana, samana, udana, and vyana, right? Because they're the ones that balance everything in the body. They take care of the digestion. They move everything, all your movement, all the things, your brain works right. The life heirs are all in balance. Everything works properly. So when the heirs are balanced, everything works vidi well. Then Vyasta Samasta Mahavyarati, then offering Pradesh Link, Gisok, wood in the fire silently, Uditcha Karma, and then up to Vamadevya, right? Up to the end of Vamadevya. Then he should then feed the child grains, saying, and he's offering it to the different, life heirs. O Achuta, master of food, bestow food which gives strength and which is free from disease. You should lead the performer of sacrifice onwards. Give strength to us and the animals. I make this sacrifice to the prana. Right? Because Krishna is the life heirs. And so then these five aspects that he does, you know, deals with, and the prana is the first one. Okay. You know, and it says you should lead the performer of sacrifice onwards, means closer and closer to him. And the second one, then, O Janarda, Lord of sustenance and food, provide our sustenance, bestow our food of bliss and immortality. Your food of bliss and immortality, you know, it means prasadam, remembrance from the Lord. At all times, bestow upon us, both human and beast, I make the sacrifice to Apana. Right? So, sustenance and food, that we're maintained, we get food, we're maintained, like that, and the bliss of bliss and immortality. Means that, you know, taking, honoring prasad is always blissful, association and immortality, that we advance and we come closer to Krishna. And he's also man and beast, right? You know, it means himself, his animals, that, because they also have to eat and everything. So we see is by doing the anaprasana for the child, you're also then benefiting all the animals and the family members like that. Then the next one, O Lakshmi Narayana, rulers of sustenance, give us the food of immortality prepared by Lakshmi herself. bestow upon us your remnants to the humans and animals alike. I make this sacrifice to the Samana. Right? So Lakshmi, she cooks for Krishna. So when we cook, we're only assisting the spiritual master in assisting her. So then we always see, if we think, oh, I'm a fabulous cook and I'm this, then there'll be problems. Because, yeah, technically the cooking will be good, but whether Krishna appreciates it or not will make the difference on whether it actually has taste or not. Then, O Lord of sustenance, give us your principal sacrifice, the food of that sacrifice. Bestow to us the human form and nature so hard to attain, made eternal. Bestow that to us, humans and animals alike. I make this sacrifice to the Udana. So, Lord of sustenance, right? Your principal sacrifice, the food of that sacrifice. So that principal sacrifice is service to Krishna and all that. And then the food of that sacrifice, the remnants of that sacrifice. And bestow to us human form and nature so hard to attain, because it's very rare like that. We take it for granted. It's because we see so many humans and talking about, oh, too many humans, you know, the karmis, they don't know what they're talking about. And made eternal means how to bring the human life to the eternal platform by performing devotional service. Then you're always engaged on the platform of the eternal. The soul then comes close to Krishna. And bestow that to us, humans and animals alike. So even the animals, by being the associated devotees, hearing the kirtan, you know, taking prasad, this and that, then they also advance. So they, agyata sukriti, they gain the next life as humans, then they can advance very nicely on the path. Then the fifth, O Janardana, give to us, both man and beast, your eternal food, that which has been offered to you, soaked with the nectar of the six flavors, and capable of destroying all sins, I make this sacrifice to the Vyana. Right? So then, you know, I say, the remnants from Krishna is that we may always have prasad, and that is comes, you know, we're also able to attain the nectar, the six flavors, the different, you know, the different tastes that are there. So that also maintains the health and all that. And, you know, and that means then you're offering that we may offer that to the Lord. We'll be offering the six tastes. Therefore, then in remnants, we're able to honor the six tastes. Like that. And it also destroys all sin. Mahaprasad is able to destroy all sin, even those which, you know, the pious chitta and all that. Just by taking prasad, it's saying that it destroys all sin. You know, so the pious chanting the holy name will destroy all sin, taking prasad will destroy all sin, association with the Vaishnavas will destroy all sin, living in the Dham will destroy all sin. So pious chitta is not at all important for the devotees. Real pious chitta is understanding what's wrong, how that's wrong. I should, you know, that I think, okay, it's wrong that it's done, and having the determination to not do that again. That's what Manu says actually purifies the living entity's consciousness. Like having given all these different things, he points out that when one sees that, yes, this is wrong, and, you know, feels remorse that this is done, and is determined to not do it again, that purifies the living entity of all reactions to the sin. Not these other things. These other things are just done as how you say, they're crowd pleasers, right? Because the crowd is so absorbed in the mundane platform that you do these things, then they're happy. Right? That's all it's for. But then if you're going to follow those things of Manu, then that means everything else that Manu mentions, then that crowd needs to follow. You know, they can't go, oh, we just chant Hare Krishna, so I don't have to do any of that. But if I feel something's wrong, then all that has to be applied to this person. No, you can't do that. That's, again, cheating. Again, mode of ignorance. After the anaprasana ceremony, he's give as much dakshin as he possibly can to all the initiated Vaishnavas and to all the Vaishnava brahmanas. He should serve prasadam to all the devotees, guests, and other living entities. This ends the anaprasana rites. So we see here is that the other ones he just mentions, give dakshin and all that, and it can be that is some little prasad in the hand, at these other ceremonies, if it's something so simple, where maybe a few special guests you might feed nicely, but otherwise you're not, it doesn't have to go beyond that for these small ones. But the ones where he mentions this, especially this one, since it's about the grains of the child and their eating and their digestion and their benefit, therefore it's saying give as much dakshin as you can. In other words, this is one of the major ones. In other words, out of the 10, certain ones are more prominent. And so this is one of them, right? And then also feeding all the devotees, the guests, and other living entities. Means you also take out what's left, you feed to the cows, feed to the dogs, feed to the birds. You want to make sure as many living entities as possible, you know, that comes comfortable, is eating and eating nicely and comfortably. And as it mentions, Mana says, even you're feeding the animals, you don't throw the stuff on the ground. You place it nicely. It's not that I'm human, they're animals. You put it nicely for them. You don't disrespect them. Is Rupanuga Vidyapit trying to say something, or is just making sound just because it's making sound?
Oh, sorry. I think because of that, there is a bird around. So.
Oh, okay. So it's a bird. Okay. See, the bird's saying, see, I told you. They're not feeding us. Okay.
Maharaj?
Yes. Hare Krishna.
Yeah, so, Maharaj, I just wanted to mention this, the goddess of justice in the Western world is depicted as a blind woman.
Right.
So that is a good idea there, because she's supposed to be just, and it doesn't matter if somebody commits some crime, he has to bear some consequence. But it's also a very frightening sight to see, because it means that it's not personal, because depending on who commits some improper activity, then the dealing with this person should be different according to his level of consciousness. And these Western people, they have no any idea about this. For them, it's the same. So it's kind of me coming from this background. It's gradually realizing how.
That's true. Because it's always given as a glorious thing that she's blind. So even you're a big guy, you still get punished just like the small guy. But it is. It's on identity, not on what do you call it? Individuality.
Not on merit.
Yeah. So that's the one thing, is this whole modern thing is when you're dealing with pranamoy, it only deals with identity. It doesn't deal with individuality, because they don't know how to identify what is an individual. They may have their own way of doing it, but it's all in purpose of identity. It means that, okay, you're from this country or this community or in this status or this or that. And so these are the rules governing you. This is how we'll work together and make everything nice. This is our justice system and all that. So as you said, it is impersonal, because being personal actually only starts really with religiosity. That comes of theism, that comes in, because if you're going to acknowledge God, it's a person you can acknowledge other living entities. You know, some take advantage of it properly and some don't. So most follow religious principles much of the time on the level of pranamoy. It's pranamoy with the touch of, if God's there, then it's better. They're not necessarily, it's not being expanded to the point of the Vedic culture where you have all the different aspects of life come under the direction of religion. So in other words, God says what is regulation in human life. And so then according to the particular, you know, individuality, then the particular identity is used to apply yourself. You know, you're a brahmachari, so you apply that. Or you're a Brahmin, you apply that. You know, or you're this age, you apply like this, or that age, like that. Or, you know, so all these different elements then are applied from the aspect that has the identity, but it's still based on the progress of the individual, you know? And so then much of the time is is all it is we don't want to use the identity given by the Vedic, but we will replace that with the identity of our own speculation. So that's then what you're mentioning there. Sometimes then they also deal with the children differently, you know, sometimes, but it's starting to come up more and more that they're dealing less and less like that. And at the same time as then criminals, then they do something wrong, but oh, because, you know, 200 years ago, you know, one of their relatives, you know, was a slave. So therefore, you know, that's all the problems. So they went into the store and stole $900 worth of material because, you know, they have no other means because of the, you know, white male patriarchy that's governing the world and like this and that. And they let that go. And at the same time, is all it does is make more things and everything falls apart. So it's very sad that, like you say, is that they're meaning to bring out a good quality. But the point is individuals have the good quality. Talking about it's blind, but the justice is blind. But the point is if it doesn't take into consideration all these elements that are there, you know, then that's what Manu mentions. You have to take a person, what is their nature, what is their power of their personality. Someone who's very meek and very soft, punishment is in the category that's appropriate, but light. Someone who's very aggressive, bold, in your face, doesn't matter what happens, they're completely insensitive to everything. The punishment has to be stronger, otherwise they don't notice it. You know, it's like the princess and the pea. You know, you have 15 mattresses and one pea underneath, and the one girl can't sleep. It's too bumpy, the bed. All the other girls sleep like a log, like that, because for her it's a bond. So the Brahmin, that, you know, a little bit of disturbance in family life, you know, on the what do you call it, the oscillate, the thing that does the you know, oscillation, you know, it's just a few degrees this side like that. And his is like it's like a roller coaster ride to him. But to, you know, Kshatriya Vaishan down, it's like nothing. It's that you wouldn't even count that as a problem. You know? So that's the thing. You know, I mean, the Kshatriya, he's there. His wife gets kidnapped, you know, taken off to another country. And then he has to go there with an army and then fight until the last man to get her back. You know, and then getting her back, then, you know, people are criticizing us to send her to the forest. And that, you know, that's Kshatriya stuff, right? And people listen to it today still, right? You know, because it's connected to that, but because that's why these, you know, Mahabharata, all these, and it goes on, okay, now that's something, listen to. You know, the Brahmin got up in his morning, did his morning puja, everything went smooth. He went out to pick Tulsi, you know, but there were a few bugs there, so he had to knock them off. And then he picked Tulsi and brought back, you know, that was the big thing of the day. It's like no one else is going to even notice that. So that's why justice has to be according to what's the varna, what's the ashram, what's the nature of the person there. Have they done anything before? Have they not? So a little bit of touch of this is in the modern, but not. Properly, you know, like you said, especially since it's about advancing in consciousness, so that's not even considered, you know, generally. Much of the time amongst the people, they may themselves, if they have a religious element to them, then they might consider it themselves. But, you know, once you get into the legal system, then it's blind. It can't look at those things. So, yeah, it's amazing. The more you go, that the modern liberal just system that's been projected, that we grew up in and we're, you know, so trained in and so conditioned to, you find out more and more how bad it is. Because right. Once you get rid of individuality, then you get rid of individuality, are the relations going to be strong? No, when the relations break down, then what's left? It's just you and the state. You become a ward of the state. And so the state has the maximum control. That's liberalism. That's where it goes.
And because the relationship, personal relationship is not really there, and they still have to have some standards. So usually the standard they're taking is, the average standard is the standard towards the lowest end of the scale. So they would inflict heavy, heavy punishment to basically to everyone, because they like the refinement to distinguish between different levels of consciousness. So
yes,
they would go down.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So that's the thing. They'll just take it down, like we said, the lowest common denominator and all that, and make it. And, but at the same time, is then for people who are in the party, you know, and top party line, then nothing happens to them. So that's what it is. Yeah. They say it's all about justice and equal and all that, but it's not. It's about everybody other than who's leading the party is dealt with equally. And if you're a member of the party, then according to your, you know, surrender and this and that, then you will consider hierarchy. But everybody else. So you see, it's a very, very difficult system that's there. You know, the other one, it gets too individual and no one works together, no one does anything like that. But it's, you know, so that'll be the problem. But then, you know, it works for religious life, spiritual life and all that. But this other, it's atheistic because the state can't handle that there is another authority other than themselves. So just as you can't have allegiance to another state, you can't have allegiance to God or to family. So it's actually very, very, as you see, if you look at it, that's what's been going on for the last 50, 60 years, is that the more liberal personalities have been in place, the more they've broken these things down. You know, it's very, 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 very far out, because if they just get you on the point of identity, your identity as is as, you know, servant of the state. Like that, and your individuality doesn't matter. Like that, it's very, very far out, you know. So Prabhupada talks about, you know, that these are the things. Is there's identity and there's individuality. So the identity is Krishna, as you know, the first verse. I am, what do you call it? I am everything. And two, I am the, you know, what is the value in everything? And I'm the controller and lord of all these energies, you know, that mentioned the first one. The third one says, I'm different than that. That's my individuality. Then the fourth one is, therefore, Abhideya means considering Krishna's individuality and the circumstances that you're in according to the identity of how he, his energies and how he controls it, you serve the Lord. So this is very much the point. And also you see in the soul, you have the same. So the Brahman and Paramatma are the identity elements. Bhagavan is the individuality element. And the soul, that they're conscious of the whole body, the consciousness spreads throughout the whole body, and that they're localized in the heart. These are the identity. But that they're an individual and how they surrender and deal with Krishna and everything, that's the individuality. So it's a very big part. Go ahead.
Sorry, Maharaj, because individuality ultimately means freedom.
Yes.
And that's the problem, because freedom is not in the picture.
Yeah. So they're going to say freedom, that individuality is not freedom. And the identity, that's freedom. Because they want you to think like that. Because then they don't. You know, this is, if you look at politics from this particular philosophical angle, you'll see the whole liberal system is about breaking this down. And at the same time, as the Vaishyas and Shudras don't mind breaking it down also. So it's only Brahmins and Kshatriyas then try to maintain, you know, the actual, these two elements. You know, it's just like you get the angry mob, you don't agree with them because you're different. So then they can harass you or kill you, and it's fine. They were justified. But if you're dealing with individuality, then they talk about it. Oh, they felt so bad. You know, only they can feel individual. No one else is. It means, in other words, the victim is the individual, and who are, they see as the problem, they're the identity. Oh, white, male, chauvinistic, you know, and nowadays, you know, that you... One is the, you know, Jewish, you know, like that. That's, you know, the worst sin. And, you know, all these different things. And so then it's all you can see is identity is for others, individuality is for themselves. It won't go both ways. But these, it'll just be seen as, it's not logical, but it's not seen that it's based on this principle. It's an impersonal principle, like you said. The justice system is impersonal. All the politics and all these, the economics is impersonal. So therefore, Vaishnavas, okay, they just want to make money. So they'll go woke, do this and that, if it'll make money. If it doesn't make money, you see, like right now, things like all these companies that went woke and it went bad for them, they're all swinging right back and sometimes even overcorrecting, you know, like that, because they just want to make money like that. So for them, it doesn't matter. Making money doesn't matter who you are, where you are, what you know, anything, as long as you buy. You know, so they'll leave out all those things and it'll work. But if they do get into it, then they do that same identity kind of thing, because you know, that mix of ignorance, you know, like that. So it's thought. It's somehow another thought to be the higher level. But that's the influence of the mode of ignorance, is that in Kali Yuga, you think that the lowest is the highest and the highest is the lowest. It's diabolical, but that's the way it is. So all this anti-Vedic, you know, and anti-religious, anti-tradition, you know, kind of things, then these are all just to bring on the quality the Kali Yuga. Because then Kali can rule, and all the regulations are broken, everything's there, and then he's in charge. And if you add in all these other things, then it makes it harder for him. Yeah. Good. How are we doing on time? Okay, we're over time. Okay, so we'll end here. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Krishna.